I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed, the podcast that attempts to overcome ignorance, mostly by asking ignorant questions. I'm your host, Jessica Michelle Singleton, JMS for short, or for lazy, or because it's honestly, I'm fine with that. This is my lazy attempt at rebranding. Like, you just call me JMS, and that's fine, and that's all I do. I'm a comedian. I don't know a fucking thing. That's why we're here. If you're new to the podcast, thanks for joining. I'm happy to have you. Please give us a chance. Subscribe. Give a rating and a review on iTunes. It really helps. Helps other people find the podcast. I would love to, you know, hear how you found me. Hear what you think. All that shit. And, you know, the more people follow, the more people get answers to their weird, dumb, ignorant questions. And thank you to everyone who has already done this. Shout out to my best idiots forever on Patreon, Gene and Kathy. If you want to join the Patreon, get cool stuff from me, postcards from around the world, extra bonus content, patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. And thank you to everyone who subscribes there. We'll just jump into it, you guys. My guest this week is Katie Jane Earl, one of the singers of the band The Mowglies. You can maybe hear my dog barking in the background. That is not Katie. That is my dog, Moki. Sounds like Mowgli. Anyway, I ask her all about being the one woman in a band and what's life like on the road with that. What's being married to someone in your band like, and just being a touring musician of a really badass band. And if you're in the UK this week, go check out the Mowglies. It is their first time touring the UK. I have been to a few of their shows, and it is a fucking good time. You dance, you leave, just re-energize. Their music has sort of a positive vibe to the lyrics, and it's just upbeat and fun. You're going to love it. It's like alt rock with, I don't know, I just feel like happy sunshine, fucking good vibes when I listen to their music. So, yeah, no further ado, here it is, Katie Jane Earl from The Mowglies. Hey, idiots. It's me. I am here with the fabulous Katie Jane Earl of the Mowglies.
Hello.
Front woman. Is that appropriate? Front?
Sure.
One of the people up front. Singer.
Yeah.
Party starter of sorts.
Yeah, vibe coordinator.
Vibe coordinator. I just gleeked LaCroix at her. You guys couldn't see that, but I definitely spit when I talk. That's a perfect title.
You know, I'll take it. Vibe coordinator is like... What an honor.
Yeah, because it's true. I mean, truly. And the vibe you guys bring on stage is incredible.
Oh, thanks. That's fun. I feel like if we're having fun and we have a good vibe, it's that much easier for other people to have fun.
Absolutely. I have seen several Mowgli shows.
You have.
Basically.
It's like you like somebody in the band.
It's crazy. It's so weird. It's
weird.
I don't know. I'm just.
We talk about it. We're like, who's that weird girl?
Oh, she's coming.
She's been to like a handful of shows.
It's a weird groupie. But it is such a like positive, happy, upbeat energy.
Thanks.
Which I feel a lot of your music brings in general. But then, yeah, because it's not fair to just call you a singer. Because I'm like, there's
so much. We're entertaining.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a show.
We're putting on a show, entertaining folks. Hopefully they're having a good time.
I think so.
What else can you do?
Okay. Well, I mean, what else can you do truly? But let's get into it because you are the lone lady in this group of men.
or something. There's something like that.
How has that been?
Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but men are idiots. And
they're my biggest fans. That's why I call them idiots.
No, I mean, I love them.
Yeah.
You know, they're cool. I feel like, you know how, like, it's like when little boys do art. You know, they come home with like a drawing they did at school.
God, dumb.
Like, no matter how dumb it is, it gets like on the fridge.
Yeah.
And like when we come home with a piece of art, our parents are like, you're never going to be an artist.
Oh my God.
And like,
Katie, I feel like my parents, is that a gen?
And so like, I feel like guys are just like, it's easier for them to just like, they go through life. Like every idea they have is good.
Is like, yes, man.
Like everything should be on the fridge. And like,
I feel like there might be parents that put, I could be wrong because my parents also would never put anything I did on the fridge. You don't think that's like a unique you as a woman circumstance?
No, I think that like most guys I know are just like have this confidence that like all their ideas are good and like everything and like they don't always treat like women's ideas or contributions like the same.
The same. Or that if a woman does have a great idea, it's like. Like, your mind shouldn't be blown by that, but men will go like, wow, Katie.
Right.
That is a great idea.
And
who
luckily,
came up with that?
Right. Who else thought of that? And luckily, I mean, like, the guys I work with are really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like, I think working with guys in general has those kinds of obstacles. It's kind of weird.
Has that ever been an issue?
Past? Definitely. Like, I think that I work with really progressive, like, feminist guys.
Yeah.
But I think that there's, of course, like, times that, you know, you're like a very basic example would be like, I'll suggest something and they'll be like, okay. And then I'll like suggest it again because I'd feel like I haven't been heard. And then it's just all kind of until I'm a bitch about it.
I feel like sometimes
I'm like, you just have to be like, just do the fucking thing. And then they do it. And then you're like, okay, cool. Great. We can move forward now.
Yeah.
You know, but when you just, I don't know, it's like sometimes I feel like you're not fully taken seriously until you just get to that place where they're scared of you a little bit.
You gotta just like whip them into.
Yeah. And then they're like, but that's fine. It's fine. Like, I don't care if they're scared of me.
I mean, yeah, you can't be if that's what you have to do to be heard. But and you don't feel like it's the same. Like, you think a man can just throw out an idea or
a lot of times I feel
or do you think people.
I mean, it's so different with like our particular group because we're like so close and we've been working together for so many years that there's just like so many personal intricacies.
Yeah, it's like a family.
And yeah, totally. But I do think like in general, like in the past, like working with a label where everybody was like a guy. There'd be times where I'd be like, I really feel like this is right and this is the right move. And it's like, I feel like maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like I had to like fight a little harder for those things.
Wow.
But you know, it's fine. It is what it is.
As a woman in a band, like when you were working with these big labels and stuff, do they ever try to, I don't know how to ask this question, you know, like, brand you specifically or be like the woman try to get you to sexy up or whatever?
Like, yeah, kind of. I mean, there was definitely a time when like when we first started where like there was some big guy that was there to see our band, and like when he met us, he just, the first thing he said was like, who's fucking the girl?
What?
And we were like, everybody was like, whoa, that was really weird. And then there was another time where like I think somebody we were working
That's
with
so
like had a very serious, like, pulled me aside and was like, don't get pregnant. And I was like, okay.
You're like, did you tell me the men to not get people pregnant?
Right, exactly. And then I feel like those are probably like the weirdest things that have happened.
Yeah.
Probably.
Do you feel the like classic Hollywood pressure as a woman to like the beauty standard shit of?
I mean, of course. Like, I'm like, every day I look in the mirror and I'm like, why is my face like? Yeah, but also like I also in a lot of ways, just like getting older, I feel better. Like, yeah. I feel like I think it was harder for me in being in my 20s in a band. A lot of that stuff mattered a lot more to me. And I feel like it probably still matters to people in music a lot, but just being in my 30s, I care less about that stuff.
You're like, I'm chill. The show's going to be fun. It doesn't matter.
Right. And every time I've ever like freaked out about the way I look, like once I get on stage, it like doesn't even cross my mind.
Yeah. You just kind of, I imagine.
It's just like nonsense, like thought filler for before the show. You're like, is my makeup weird?
About. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something to panic about.
Are they
going to
see this tiny piece of glitter that's out of place?
Right.
And it's like, no.
No. They don't care. It's fine.
I do the same shit.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're like, it's literally,
once you're out there, whatever you're wearing is fine.
And they're going to love the music. Yeah, no one is going.
No one cares. Nobody's going, well, she was wearing kind of a weird outfit. Or like,
I mean, the only thing that could happen is like, if you did a bizarre outfit, they're just going, whoa, what a cool outfit.
Right, well, and also you're a rock star. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, you're
a
rock star.
It's not weird.
You can wear whatever you want.
Absolutely. And people are, I think most people just go like, cool. Unless you have some sort of reputation for
unless you're wearing like a MAGA hat, most people don't have an opinion about what you're wearing.
Do you feel like that has ruined the ability to wear red hats?
I think red hats are a trigger now.
Yeah.
Just in general. I've seen like a red like Adidas hat and been like, you know, like I was mad for a minute. And
yeah.
Then I realized there was nothing to be mad about. It was just a totally
non-right-wing hat.
It's just a hat.
It's so true, though. Like,
but they're triggers for sure. And also, have you seen a MAGA hat in the wild?
I mean, yeah, it's very. I've only seen them on very old people.
It's the first time it happened. I was at an airport. And like, I was at the other end of the airport and all the way down, like a few baggage claims like down, there was like eagle. A hat. And I was like, all of a sudden that thing, like when you see your ex, like, or like, like a feeling from the pit of my stomach, and my face got hot. Like I was pissed. It was crazy. I was like this. I wanted to just like say, I wanted to say something so bad. I wanted confrontation really bad. Like I was pissed.
Oh,
it was weird. And then I was like, what is happening to me? Like, it's just like, yeah, there's probably a lot of Trump supporters around me. It's just like none of them have the gall to wear the hat. It's like
the rest of them aren't fine. They don't want to advertise the mistake they made,
right? Like, but it was, it's weird. It was a weird feeling. It was like an experience. It was very,
yeah,
it was weird.
Because you're like, you're pretty political. I mean, you're,
I mean,
you're,
I,
out there.
I'm as political as I feel like most people should,
yeah,
be.
You're vocal.
It's our country.
Absolutely,
it's ours.
How do you feel as an artist? How do you feel about intertwining that within your art or your performance?
Well, I try, just because the Mowglis is made up of a bunch of individuals, I, yes, try to not speak for anybody else. I try to really, you know, make that line clear that when I speak for myself, and this is what I believe.
Yeah.
So I try really not to bring it into the Mowglis at, yeah, all. I feel like the Mowglis can be political in the sense that like we try to get people to like love themselves. And I think that, yeah, loving yourself is like a rebellious act in a world that wants you to hate yourself.
I mean, I 100% agree.
So we can be political in that way. We can be like, get involved, take control of your own life, love yourself, and hopefully people take that information and those tools, and then they can go and be like good citizens with that. And we don't have to be like, vote this way.
Yeah. You're doing the right thing. You, yeah, hope you'll figure it, yeah, out.
But me personally, I'm like all about having the conversation, and I'm like not scared of the confrontation that comes with it, because I feel like for me personally, when I'm having the conversation about it, it's like very much something that I believe in.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, it's really not hard to talk about something that you genuinely believe in.
Yeah,
and
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I genuinely believe like all people should have access to healthcare, not just people who can afford it. And I genuinely believe that like housing is a human right.
Yeah.
And I could sit here and have a conversation for hours about why I think those things. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to.
So you're like, it's not a weird thing for you to.
Yeah, no, I'll talk to a Trump supporter.
Yeah. That's literally was the premise of this podcast originally, was just trying to bridge that gap of, okay, how can I have the conversation? And I'm 100% certain I align with you politically.
Right.
But I'm like, I've seen the Bernie stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
But
love the guy.
I mean, truly amazing.
Yeah. He's the best.
You got to like meet him recently.
I got to meet him very
briefly.
That's
not what this whole podcast is going to be about. But
very briefly, I got to meet him. I'm going all in for 2020 for Bernie.
Yeah. You're
because
just like,
I'm
hard
like,
burn.
Yeah. I'm like, you think he would be the best thing for this country.
100%.
I think getting money out of politics is 100% crucial to transforming our government into one that works for the people and not for the richest,
absolutely,
people.
And he's the one candidate,
and he's the only candidate that is in compromise.
Yes, the only one.
He owes us, like, we're funding his campaign, so he,
absolutely,
owes us, not, you know, special interests. So I'm so all in for him, and I'm like also like, if 2020 turns out really bad, and it's another red hat year,
ooh,
or 4 years, at least I want to at least be able to feel like I did everything.
You made
I
your
could.
Effort.
I,
yeah,
don't want to just feel like I sat back and let that happen to me, because I think it's a terrifying prospect.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, wow, I should have.
I will feel
phone
like phone
banked more.
I will
100%
feel
people.
That way. Yeah.
I mean, I will find it. I want to say I would find it shocking if he got reelected, but who fucking knows these days?
Oh my God. It's totally possible.
So,
but I'm totally cool with talking to Trump supporters.
Absolutely.
Like, my in-laws are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I would sit down and talk to them all day long. I'd,
yeah,
be like, why do you feel that way? Don't,
absolutely,
you think this? Do you, you know, I think at the end of the day, a lot of us really do believe in the same things. We want the same things.
Yeah.
I would love for people in my life who I know are maybe Trump supporters, I know they also want healthcare and need it. And,
yeah,
I know they also hate to see people on the streets. And I know that, you know, they also don't want billionaires taking advantage of them while,
yeah,
they struggle. Like, we all want that.
Truly.
So
I don't understand.
There's labels on it.
Yeah. How can you not want someone who's for healthcare and be someone who's like teeth are falling out. It's like, you don't right. think that, you don't want that to be a thing that you right. can get some help with.
Right.
My God. I mean, I love that. Yeah, because I felt a lot of, not pressure. It's not, no one is applying pressure to me for who to like, but that little voice of the like feminist extremist thing where it's like, oh, am I supposed to just go put my money behind the woman because she's a woman?
But ultimately,
which is bad feminism.
Well, I was going to say true feminism is recognizing seeing a person despite their gender,
which is 100% I agree with, right. which is why I run into like.
And also, I want a woman president.
I would love that.
I would love that.
I also...
I want the right one.
Yeah, I also believe somewhere out there is a woman who would be the best choice at couldn't a given year. More. And that was always my... That's my thing is that, like, just... And it's not just presidents. It's anywhere. Just plugging a woman in to put in a
is
woman...
Not the answer.
If she's not the best one is yeah. detrimental,
just
in my
give
opinion.
Women the shot to be yeah, the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Put them in the playing field and, you know, see what they're capable of. Let them prove themselves the same way the men have.
Absolutely. It's like, yeah, just get put me in, coach.
Put me in, coach.
Not me. God, save the world. If yeah. I once had too much iced coffee and joined neighborhood council. And that
really?
Was a, I mean, it was a very brief stint. But
how is the neighborhood?
It's thriving in a possibly negative way. It was Highland Park. Anyways, oh. my idea was to like.
That was you.
Stop gentrification.
Got it.
I was very manic. Anyway, I ended up in a march. An anti-gentrification march holding a sign in Spanish. I don't know what it said.
We've all been in marches holding signs we didn't understand.
Listen, I didn't get these calves by not marching.
Right.
Okay. You want a nice butt, march for something.
March for something. Care about something.
Care about something. Truly. There's so much to care about. How? Okay. Backing up a little to just life as a musician. Was that something you always saw yourself doing?
No, I mean, I feel like as a kid, like yours, mine is a patchwork childhood.
That's a very sweet way to put it.
So yeah, I was kind of like, you know, I moved a lot and I was kind of all over the place and I don't think I ever really thought about like my future very much.
That makes sense.
I was a child actor, so I definitely like, wanted to always like wanted to entertain.
I have to ask, like theater? Are you, was
oh,
there
I was in a drug free commercial. I was in a Jack in the Box commercial.
How do you feel now about the drug free commercial?
I mean, I was a soccer player, and my goalie was super stoned, and they missed. They ruined the game.
And you're like, so I stand
they blew
by
the
my
game.
Statement.
And don't
so do
I
drugs
stand
before
by
the
my
game.
Statement. Yeah, don't do drugs before the game. Do them during and after the game.
Yes. Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box. Do you remember the Meaty Cheesy Boys?
No, but I didn't. I mean, that might be like a West Coast thing.
Yeah, the Meaty Cheesy Boys were this like. It was during the era of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Oh my
and
God.
Jack in the Box had the Meaty Cheesy Boys.
That's so funny.
Which one of whom is Wade Robson, who was like a big choreographer and one of the boys in the Michael Jackson documentary.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. So he was one of the Meaty Cheesy Boys.
Very
and
meaty.
I played
cheesy. I'm sorry.
Their number one fan. Yeah. I played like an extreme Meaty Cheesy Boys like fanatic.
You're like a Meaty Cheesy head.
I was a Meaty Cheesy head. And so I did that commercial. And I just think I always like wanted to do entertainment. And so then my parents moved to Vegas and I was like crushed. I was like, I have an acting career.
Wow, because you were in, were you in California before?
I was in California, okay. And I was like, I have an acting career. You're ruining my career. So we moved to Vegas.
Horrifying.
I went to high school there, joined theater.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, was not, it wasn't being on set, I'll tell you that much.
It's the most you can do.
I did musical theater, and I liked it, and it was fun, and but I hated Vegas, and I, like, couldn't wait to move back to L.A. So then I did move back to L.A. my senior year, and I was an adult, so, you know, my kid agent didn't care about me and stuff. So
like,
I started
remember
doing,
me?
Yeah,
like,
I went there. I was like, hi, remember me? And my agent was like, okay. Like, looking back on it, he was like, cool.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'll call you. Totally.
Yeah. Security?
Yeah, no, 100%. I was like 18. I was like, I'm back. Ready to work. Put me in, coach. And no.
So funny.
But then I started doing comedy, and I was doing UCB stuff.
Oh, awesome.
And, And then I started like working in reality TV and I was making a lot of money.
Like producing or?
No. I was like PAing. I was like 20. Okay. And I was like hanging out at Crafty and like running errands. And it was cool. It was great. It was during the writer's strike. So there was like a lot of money in reality TV. And and I was happy to hang out and make that money. So did that. And then while I was like working and doing comedy kind of casually, and then I was hanging out with musicians. And so that just kind of like happened. They were like, oh, come sing on this track. Do you want to play a show? And I was just, it just kind of happened really organically.
You just sort of ended up in the music.
Just kind of ended up in the music community from like having creative friends and maintaining those creative relationships.
At that point, did you think that you were going to eventually do stuff in comedy, or you were just kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to
outlet out. I was just excited to be performing. Like the band was playing shows regularly and I was excited to be playing shows.
That's amazing.
So that was, you know, it was getting me on stage and getting me on a mic and getting me in front of people. So
how
I felt good.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine.
Yeah. You've been up there.
I know in a different way. Yeah. How quickly, like, from joining the band, were you, like, originally in the band?
I'm one of the original members.
Okay. There have been so many iterations.
Andy's the only one who's not an original member.
So much evolution. I'm ignoring you. No. And somehow my boyfriend, he said that from the beginning when I started dating him. He's like, yeah, I just got, you know, really lucky and a thing happened. And I was like, that's fucking rad, dude.
To be fair, he has been around, like,
a
long time. We played shows with Andy, and then he was like, his band broke up, and then he was our merch guy, and then our drummer was like, I'm sick of playing drums, I want to play something else. And we're like, okay, Andy, you play drums.
He's like, and, I can do that.
Yeah. And we never once were like, maybe it's really expensive to just keep adding band members. We just did. That's, we just
you didn't think of it. You're like, well, we want this, so like, fuck it.
Yeah. It was it was crazy.
It's hindsight. Fun. It's like, you know, not financially.
Yeah.
Because touring, I mean, I still do a little of it, but like a lot of like, when I first started getting on the road was like very gritty little shows. And I mean,
it's not a glamorous life. No.
Well, and the money I make, and I'm one person, and then you go like, oh, this band is like splitting whatever they're making among, I mean,
has too many people.
How many people?
Well, I mean, there was eight. There was like eight at the peak.
Yeah. You guys are down to five now, right?
Yes.
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 Amazing.
Yes. The life just kind of dwindled the number down to five.
Yeah. People went their own ways, did their own stuff.
It's a hard life, yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure some people just get worn down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was like after our the first year of touring was the first guy was like, I'm done with this.
Really?
This life is not for me.
How long after like starting to play did you guys start like hitting the road?
There were a few years. We were playing, we spent like a year or two in LA just like literally playing like coffee shops and bars and like hair salons and art walks.
Anywhere
and, like,
you could.
Vintage stores. Like literally anywhere that was like having bands, farmers markets we
Amazing.
Were playing. And then we that kind of evolved into playing, you know, bigger shows in LA, opening up for bigger bands, and then we got a booking agent. And that was when things started changing. Yeah.
Really? How was hitting the road for the first time?
It was so fun. We were like totally in like a honeymoon phase. Like I was like dating somebody else at the time and I was like, bye life, don't care anymore. Like,
yeah.
See ya.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you're just like in honeymoon phase. And like it started pretty immediately. I think we went on our first tour, which was 3 weeks. And then we were like, okay, we're going to go home for a month and then we're going out again. And then we're going to come home for a week and then we're going out again. And for a year and a half, it was just that. It was
nonstop.
Like, we got home at Friday and we left again on Monday.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And it was like such a rush and we were all in this honeymoon phase. And there was a lot of like, we're in the South, we need to eat Southern food. We're in Philly, we need to have cheesesteaks. We're in, you know, it was like, we need to eat whatever from wherever we are. And now I think all of that's worn off. We're kind of,
because like I just
need a vegetable.
Yeah, we need nutrients.
But the first big year of touring was so fun and exciting, and it was kind of like, I'll never go home.
Oh my God, you're like, I could do this forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, God, I'm fucking tired.
Totally. And now I'm like, how can I make money from home?
Can we tour virtually somehow?
Can you tour in LA?
What about holograms?
Right. Honestly, Get it.
Were you, when you first hit the road, were you guys like on a tour bus?
No. We were in a 15 passenger van.
Oh,
the first
shit.
Large sum of money we got from a publishing deal, we bought a 15 passenger van with. And we Amazing. Hooked a trailer up to it, and all eight of us plus a tour manager, so nine of us got in there, and we were getting hotel rooms and getting like two hotel rooms, and
just everyone sharing.
Everybody
beds.
Was sharing, and
was that awkward?
Staying at people's
first?
Houses
as like a woman was it? Were people of, weird about it, or were you?
It was kind of, you know, I always brought my own little blow up mattress. Like yeah. a little twin size blow up mattress, so I kind of just had my own thing going on, and it was kind of fine.
That's great. That's smart.
Yeah, it was fine. But yeah, and then there were nights that it was like we had to do overnight drives where we'd get off stage, we'd pack up, and then we would have like a 8-hour drive where we'd all have to sleep in the van.
Who was driving?
Dave. He's insane.
How does... Dave is not a human.
Dave's... No, he's not. He's
Dave
a...
Dave is in the band, you
part
guys.
Machine.
He's like the keyboard... there's so many instruments I see.
He does
up.
So many random things. He also like literally... We're talking about how he's not a human. He powers down... Like he'll just like go
he just turns
and
off
and just shuts his eyes, and he'll rest for like 4 to 6 minutes, and then it's like, and he's like back.
He's back.
It's really weird. He's a
but thank goodness for him driving.
Thank
the
goodness
car.
For Dave. Like he has really kept us afloat.
Yeah.
All these years helping us manage our finances.
Is he a little
sure...
more right brain than everyone? Or wait, whichever one's not the left brain. Which one's
yeah.
the logic?
He's whatever I'm not. I've never
like, I
been
feel like he could
more
handle spreadsheets.
Different than Dave. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Dave and I are so, so different. Like I relate to him less than I relate to pretty much anybody. It's,
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. But we get along great.
Yeah.
But
you're just so different.
Or like also like Dave, somebody who I'm kind of fine having like a blowout fight with, because I know that, you know, it's not going to roll over. Like we'll be like, I'll be like, fuck, you know, you're wrong. You're wrong. There's no two ways about it. You're wrong.
Yeah.
I'll be like, where do you think, you know, where we should go to dinner tonight? Like what, you know, like, it's like really just easy to roll into the next moment with him for some reason. Even
is that
though we fight?
Is that a big part of being in a band where you guys are like so close, like proximity wise?
Oh,
are
yeah.
there a lot of little like,
oh my God.
You're stuck in
it's
these
insane.
Like, in such small
me
quarters.
And Andy like bicker like siblings. Like there was literally a meeting about it once.
Oh no.
yeah. Yeah, it's totally like that. Like I'm an intense person. So you know
what makes you creepy?
I have no problem being like
I'm pissed.
Getting to, you know, I'll get there and I'll be really animated and excited when I'm saying something. And I don't, it's like spirited.
Yeah.
It's spirited. And I'm not actually mad.
You just have a lot
but
of.
I'll be like, get fucking the thing in the butt. And then everybody's like, oh my God, turn it down.
She's so pissed.
Yeah. And it's like, I can really create this energy that makes like, if you don't know me, they're like, ugh. And I think the only thing that annoys me is I'm like, you guys, we've been in a band for 10 years. Like, you know me.
Right.
Like, don't, you know, but they do. But Andy, I'll like get to that point with Andy and Andy will come at me. Like, he'll come back at me with the same energy. And then we're just like fighting. We're fine. Like, we're not in
it's
an actual
always...
fight, but we're both like at 11.
At a, yeah.
So it can be a little intense. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like that. We all have a different dynamic, but like Andy and I definitely probably bicker the most, other than Dave and Andy, who actually bicker the most.
Oh, Dave and Andy.
Yeah, they bicker the most. And then me and Andy probably the second most.
Andy, you're a common denominator here. What's
he
going
is.
On,
he
Andy?
Is.
Lock it up.
He is.
Having to be surrounded by the just life habits of multiple different men.
Mm.
How was that? Like seeing just...
Well, I think that like also like one thing is like, you know, we just shared a bus with New Politics.
Yes.
They're like really clean and like totally like...
Just organized and
they, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was like, oh, I feel like they smell better than our guys and they're like cleaner. I'm like, am I wrong? Maybe I'm just like so used to our guys.
It's just a new
like,
scent.
I'm like, you guys are all like hot and cool. And
it's just pheromones. You're like,
what's happening?
What's going on over here?
And none of them are immune to my charms yet. So they like laughed at all my jokes and stuff. I was like, you guys are just better. Like, you guys are better. You guys are better.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I definitely make sure I have what I need. I'm like, you guys are fine. I need a place to change and I need a mirror and I need, you know, I know that they're fine. So it's
kind of course.
Their living situation is fine. I just kind of deal with it. And then I just make sure to ask for what I need.
That's great. I mean, that's such a huge, that's a skill I envy.
Gotta do it.
I have been actively working on it so hard.
Because I really, really hate feeling resentful. Like that is such a kicker for me. Like I hate that emotion more than a lot of other emotions. And so for me, I'm just like, you know what? If I don't just like say like, yo, I need this.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be pissed off later. It's just easier.
It's easier to just be like, just let me get this.
Yeah. And also every year of life, I like move forward. I just care less and less what people think. So like,
isn't it a blessing?
It's the best.
It's so
I love just being like, I need this and I don't care. Like, I'm not rude about it, but it's like, I used to be so scared of asking, like, I don't want to seem difficult.
I don't want to bother
you. I don't want to seem like
a
bitch.
Is there toilet paper?
Yeah. Or like trying to find, like, I need to like convey something. I need to get an idea across. So I need to like find the exact right tone that's not offensive to you so that I can say this, but still be cool. Like I still want, and now I'm just like, I don't care.
Good for
like,
you.
It
I'm still struggling so a little. I'm pretty good at like being blunt and getting what I want, but
you know, I think getting married helped for me.
Really?
For me, I think it
noted.
Helped. And the reason why is because you kind of just like know, like, there's that whole element is just gone where you're like, well, I know, like, I have this partner at home.
They're
who's,
not gonna
like,
leave.
Legally bound to me. So, like, I'm just going to be, like, unabashedly myself out here or something.
Yeah.
You know? And or even, like, I feel like it's almost like I could go on an audition and not have any fear of failing because, like, what's the worst that happens? I still go home to my husband at the end of the day. Whereas, like,
there's so many people listening, like, you bitch.
You know,
they're alone in their studio apartments, like, oh,
there's
she's right.
No, but it's like, you know, there's
safety.
This sense of, it's like a safety net.
Security.
There's like a net under me at all times now, I feel
well,
like.
I think
so it makes me a little more, like, I don't care if you think I'm a bitch. Because I need this and I'm going to ask for it. And like my husband knows I'm not a bitch and he likes me.
And he loves me. So yeah. That is a nice feeling of, especially someone with a patchwork childhood. But I mean,
Security.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing that I have struggled with forever. But yeah, that makes so much sense. The idea of having someone that you go, because I have abandonment issues like
of
to
course,
the
of
nines.
Of course, I mean, who doesn't?
Truly.
You know what I mean? Except for, you know, those people who don't.
Yeah. And God, I mean, I envy all of them.
Yeah.
But it's like the wind will blow and I'm like,
you're going to leave me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten real good. I've gotten better at like not having such severe reactions, but also a lot better at keeping it tucked in.
Right, right.
But
it's
it is,
there.
Is
tucked
the thing
in
of
not.
Like, I don't want to cry in front of you.
Right.
Even having a boyfriend who's like, hey,
well,
you
also,
can
like,
talk to me about stuff. And I'm like, can I?
Yeah. No. And also it's like there's that whole element of like not. How can you talk about it when you're like, I don't even fully understand my abandonment issues.
Yeah.
Like,
you're like,
I just started crying. I don't know why.
Yeah. If you have trauma.
I don't
like,
know why.
PTSD triggers
know?
Where you're like, I don't know what
yeah.
this is. To someone who. It's funny because. With comedians and other people who just have shit, even if they don't really know what's going on, they get it.
Right.
You know, where they're like, oh shit. Yeah, I get it. Sometimes you just get set off.
Right.
But I dated a few comedians before the relationship I'm in and they kind of got it and whatever. And it was just, you know, not a good recipe, but you know, crazy and crazy, but having some sort of like trigger or meltdown type thing in front of someone who you know doesn't do that and hasn't been around someone who just like gets set off by a dumb thing. Because I go into like crying.
I don't know.
It's
I gotta
hard.
Say, anybody, anybody that you're with in any creative environment has like been around fucking lunatics.
Exactly. But my fear is I wouldn't want the person I'm with to be like, oh, she's just a lunatic.
No, no. I think that if you're, I feel like you tend to date creative people, and like whether that is like comedy or film or music, like this is something that I have had to talk a lot about with Josh and with my bandmates. It's like, we chose this life, and for the rest of our career, like, we'll always come across like narcissists. We'll always come across like psychopaths. We'll always come across traumatized people.
You have to know you're going to bump into that.
This, yeah. This world just is full of that. Like, yeah. I mean, the entertainment world,
it's a magnet for it.
It really is. It really, really is. And I think especially with like music and comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, actors, like, they're not stable. Come on. Who are you kidding? You know, I pretend to be somebody else for a living.
Like for a living. Like that, any of us are
we're all fucked.
I need an audience to feel okay.
Anybody who needs an audience to, for validation is
got their own thing.
We all got our own things going on.
That's so true.
But yeah, it's funny. It's like, that's another thing about just tapping, since we're talking about being married, is like learning like, oh, so that's a trigger for you. Or like, oh, this is a trigger for me. Like, you know, yeah, it's like there's a lot of experiences like learning
other people's how to support that stuff. How to like, be able to be there for someone.
Mm-hmm. And I think that as you grow up, you learn about your own triggers too. So like really learning about yourself, like while you're like living alongside somebody else is kind of a trip.
Oh, truly. Because you're like, there could be things you didn't even realize were a thing for
totally.
You.
Totally. I've learned more about myself in the last like 3 years probably than I did in the 10 years before that, you know?
Wow.
Because in my 20s, I was just like, doop the doo, like shots. And now I'm like actually like reflecting.
Trying to pay attention to what is this feeling?
Right. And I'm exactly.
Where did that come from?
Can't afford therapy. So, you know, I'm like,
Gotta do my own.
Yeah. Which is recommended.
Yeah, definitely. Only do that, you guys. Uh-huh. If you can do nothing else, self. I do have a lot of moments of.
And analyze your friends. People love that.
Diagnose them. Get the DSM. Start people looking at personality disorders. Shout it out at them. Mm-hmm. Call everyone a narcissist. God, so funny and relatable in this city, I feel like. Yeah. If I may, you're married to someone else in your band.
Yep.
He's great. Hi, Josh. You guys weren't.
He's not listening.
I know. I'm saying it so people go discover the band. None of you will ever listen. You guys weren't always together.
No.
So you like fell in love, you know, in the course of things.
On tour.
How was that? Weird?
Oh, it was super weird. We were in a band together for like years, and then we started touring.
Was it a thing where you like never even thought about it?
Never even thought about it. Yeah. Like we were both dating other people, never crossed my mind. Drama. I was never like, ooh, like Josh can get it. Like I never thought anything of it. But when we started touring, like when we got out of LA, and we'd like wake up in the same hotel and like, I'd be like, I'm going to go get a coffee. Does anybody want to come? And the only person who would be up and like want to go on a mission to get coffee would be Josh. So all of a sudden it's like, we're accidentally like on a coffee date.
Yeah. Spending we're like so in much
a
time
new
together.
City together, walking to get coffee or being like, oh shit, there's a lake nearby or a pier nearby. Does anybody want to check it out? And we were just both, you know, drawn to the same things. We both were like, let's go to this place to get food. Let's go to that place to get coffee. Let's go on a walk and see this lake. And all of a sudden it's like, we're spending a lot of time together. And then one day after like a few months of this, one day it was like,
what's going on?
Yeah. It was like, I don't know if he said something. Or
I was
going to
say, do you remember who
one of
the
us
blog?
Was like, this is like, something's happening here. Right. Like I'm not crazy. Like this is because it went from just like, oh, well like we both want coffee so we're getting coffee to all of a sudden being like, oh, I want to go get coffee with Josh like, and then it was like, you know,
thank God there was something. Imagine,
oh my
there's something here, right? In a band with a band member and they're like, no oh the hell
No, it's so scary. So scary. And actually I think that we did think that like after the first tour we were like, nothing had happened, we hadn't crossed any like physical lines, but we were just like, we're just feeling this way because we're in honeymoon phase. Like, this is all exciting. It's our first tour. Like,
proximity.
We're just going to go home and, like, cool off, and it's, this is just a phase.
Yeah.
But, which, you know, in most cases, like with most dudes, you're like, oh my God, I like this dude. Like, what's happening? And then you go home and after a month, you're like, who's that person even? Like, oh, I don't even care.
And he was just yeah. giving me attention and I yeah, was alone.
Totally. He laughed at my joke once.
And I was like,
But yeah, and this like wasn't like that. Like I went home and I was like kept thinking about him, and every time I saw him, I was like, really excited to see him. And then we got booked another tour, and it was like so exciting to like get to go off like, together again. And then it was like, okay, this isn't like stopping.
We have to like figure out what's going
on. We've got to figure out what's going on. And then I think it took like a couple of months, and we came home and broke up with the people that we were dating yeah. and like moved and did all this stuff that
you
sucks.
You just moved in together? No.
Oh, I was like, you were living with, okay. Yes.
I was like, oh God, what a leap.
Yes. Leap and of faith. So I moved out of the place I was in with the guy I was dating at the time. And, it, you know, it was just like all those worst parts about dealing with that.
Oh, the breakup. It's hard.
And then
even
once
when
we
it's
were
the
both,
right thing.
Yeah. And then once we were both single, we were like, you know,
Hey,
this is awesome. And then we started kind of dating, and the band was like pissed about it. They were like, if you guys break up, this is going to be the end
Ruin
of
the band.
And we're like, right. But if we also just like are in love and can't be together, that's going to break up the band.
Yeah.
Cause like what? I'm going to be at a bar and I'm going to be in love with Josh watching him talk to some other girl. Cause he can't be with me. And then I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Like oh, that. Oh my God. That sounds horrible.
That'd be so bad.
And then we
bad.
Get in a van together with all our other friends and we're all just pissed.
How
like,
was Ashley?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Whatever.
It like, would be so much worse. So instead we just were like, well, it would feel really disingenuous to not just act on
to
this.
To go for it.
And it would be like very against the Mowglis.
Yeah, it's like, you know, love.
The Mowglis feel like are like, follow your heart, be yourself, you know, pursue love.
So like it's literally just, in
yeah,
the lyrics.
We're like, you guys. And then we were like, you know, we've between Josh and myself, I've had a lot of talks about just making sure like we don't ever want it to seem like his opinion is our opinion.
Oh yeah.
I don't ever want it to seem like if
your
we're
opinion
voting
is our opinion.
On
yeah.
something, vote for you, I'll vote for me. Like we're not voting for us.
None
I
of
don't
that codependent
ever want it to seem
making sure to be like
right.
Do not please try to please the other person.
Right. I don't want it
like,
to seem like it's us and them. Like we're five individuals. I want and I really want my individuality. Like
yeah.
I don't want Josh speaking for me. I don't want like people just going like, oh, well, Josh and Katie. Like I'm my own person.
The being coupled up and people identifying you as that is like,
especially as coworkers. Like, I don't want my band to just see us. Like, I still want to be seen. I still want my own relationship with each band member.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's really important to me and really important to us. And we, I think we do a pretty good job of maintaining that. But like,
yeah. Are you guys good at keeping work and non-work separate?
Yeah, I think it's a little tough at home sometimes because like you know, we're especially like when things are going, like we're just at home and like I'm tweeting from the band page and he's making art for the band and we're just like talking about the set list and we're just like and then, you know, and then we go to rehearsal.
Yeah.
And we're rehearsing and then we come home and it's like sometimes we need
out.
To be like, we need to like not talk about the band.
Yeah. No, like, it's you have to draw those hard lines.
We have to like draw those hard lines sometimes, especially when there's like we're getting a new booking agent or like, you
Ooh,
know,
heavy.
Like there's a lineup change or we need to hire somebody or fire somebody or if anything is going on like that, it's like, you know, we'll just be in the middle of dinner and then it'll be like, and you know what else? That, you know, and it's just sometimes, yeah, it can be a little blurry at home.
That's hard.
Like, you know what? Let's just like not talk about the band for a second.
Yeah. I have trouble with just clocking out in general, like
totally.
As a workaholic
totally.
Where I'll just.
And I don't mind it also.
Yeah.
But just for like the sanctity of like our relationship.
Make sure we don't just constantly.
Yeah.
Because even if it's work you love, it can become stressful and you don't want to forget.
Totally.
You're like, I also have this separate relationship with somebody I love.
100%. 100%. And that's actually, it's like we do at home. Like we can get really into just like checking out or we're like full. Like,
yeah, it's
full
one or the other.
Like all about the Mowglis. And right now we're like really trying to be like all hands on deck. Like. You know,
we guys have so much going on. You have this new single, more singles.
Yeah. We're trying to just, you know, every time, like recording a song costs money. Like people are like, when are you coming out with new music? And you're like, well, when we can scramble. Afford. So when we can like wrangle some change together to record some songs.
Yeah.
So luckily we have this really amazing producer, Alex Arias, who's like an old friend of ours. He's, you know, we've been friends since we were all starting out as musicians. And he was starting out as an engineer and producer. And over the last 10 years, like, he's developed so much, and now he's just so, you've met him.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Incredible
producer. He did Wasting Time, and he did Stop Fighting With Yourself, which, you know, I think even
both
just despite the songs themselves, they sound great. Like he did a really good job. And so we've been working with him, and that's just so much fun. He works for a great rate. And so as soon as we have a couple songs, we're like, let's just record them and put them out. Like, we're not going to wait until we have enough money and time to do a whole album.
Full album.
We've got two songs. Let's put them out. And instead of releasing a full album or a full body of work, we're going to try to put a video out with each song.
I love that.
So that there's content constantly
coming
from us. Which
is so important, for better or worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's fun for us, you know, as you know, like a lot of us a lot of us grew up in LA. We all come from this film background. We've all worked on sets. We all have different creative bones and itches that need to be scratched. So it's kind of fun to have these video concepts and to get together with other friends and have this whole other creative avenue to put into our music.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So videos have been fun.
Yeah. I mean, and they've been great. These last two songs that just came out, I mean, they're killer.
Thank you.
That note, I guess. So, one of the lead singers, he went off to do a solo career like earlier this year. So there's been a shift.
Mm-hmm.
With that shift, how do you guys feel like a pressure to like, let's really get out some new music to like keep the ball rolling to make sure people don't?
I think at a few things was like, when he left, he got onto like a much bigger ship. Like he left and he signed a big record deal, and they were really pushing this like narrative of like the lead singer of the Mowglis got his own deal. And so we were like, well, we really want to push the narrative that there is no lead singer of the Mowglis.
We're a group.
And so
is how I always saw you. I think it's how everyone.
Totally. But of course,
it's not
like
a boy band where people go.
Totally.
You know, the Justin Timberlake.
Exactly.
It's like a crew.
It's always been, you know, about the group.
Yeah.
And so we really wanted to reestablish that. We definitely didn't want people to think that because there was a change happening, it meant this was no longer happening.
Yeah.
So I think that was the urgency. Let's keep this ball rolling. We want people to know that there's still going to be music coming.
Yeah.
That just because there's been a change doesn't mean we're going to stop making music.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're going to stop playing. So, you know, we really wanted to prove to like our booking agent and everybody on our team that we can keep doing this. Like if you have any doubt that, if you thought that this was ever about one person, like let us prove to you that it's not. And so we have spent this last year really trying to put our best foot forward and really just trying to stay strong as a group and be this group that is about the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
So
it's been fun. I mean,
I
feel like just as an outside observer, it's like you guys are fucking killing it.
Thanks. It's
haven't
been
missed
fun.
A beat.
It's honestly, I think it really comes down to like when every single person in the boat is rowing the same direction.
I love that.
It's easier to go forward.
Yeah, you're going to get more momentum.
Yeah, if one person is like, I'm not really sure I want to be in this boat, or like, should we be going this direction?
Or just not helping row.
There's one person in the boat that's like, just not
even sure
going in the same direction or can create confusion. And so right now, like everybody in the boat is just rowing the same way and they're rowing their asses off.
You guys are all the Winklevoss twins or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Or Lori Loughlin's daughter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Real.
Or not.
Yeah. I mean, that's so funny. Killing it. You guys are getting ready to go. Oh, wait, let me go back to, did you and Josh have to like come out to the band?
We kind of did. Everybody could kind of
tell. Or they're like,
tell.
Yeah, we know.
They're like, we share a 15 passenger van. Like, we can feel your sexual tension. Thanks.
Yeah. You're like, it's making us all uncomfortable.
Yeah. So yeah, we definitely had to like come out to the band or whatever, which was like awkward and weird, but eventually it was just kind of like, whatever, like this is what's going to happen. So
with that shift, like the stuff earlier on when you talked about someone being like, who's she fucking, does that, do you worry about that in your head, like people going, oh, that's she's there, because yeah, even though you've been there the whole time, no, totally, you're obviously adding so much.
I don't really worry about it, just because I feel like anybody who knows the Mowglis like doesn't see it that way, but I definitely like don't ever want I don't want our marriage to be like a gimmick,
a part,
like,
of the thing.
I don't want it to be like, oh, and then the singers are married. Like, that's not it. Like, yeah, we're five individuals.
You don't ever want it to be a
we're
thing.
We're five,
like,
individuals.
Isn't
like,
it cute?
Yeah, like, yeah. And like
the band course, with the couple that's married, and right, it's
and of course, like there's like me and Josh have moments on stage, and of course we work together, and of course like our relationship is inherently involved, but like it's not. It was never at the foundation of, yeah, the band. It was never in,
and you never want it to be like, no, what people think,
yeah,
of.
It was never a part of the inception, so like,
yeah, you're like, I'm, we're not gonna try, yeah, to force that now, you're like, we're doing, right, fine,
and
we don't,
it's like,
need,
how much pressure is that on a marriage too?
Yeah, they're like, what if it falls apart,
right, and
then
just like,
everything falls apart,
exactly, it's just so much pressure. And yeah,
do you ever get fans that make you feel like some people are trying to do that, or like that, do you,
no,
get questions about your relationships from like fans?
Not really, to be,
good,
honest. Yeah. It's
amazing.
Pretty cool. It's pretty,
that
cool,
is such a relief.
People are pretty like, yeah, it's, I guess it's just because like we don't talk about it. So they're not like,
yeah,
it's,
you're not making it a thing.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Like they know we're married, but like,
I mean, that's gotta be,
it's not a thing.
It's gotta be kind of fucking magical to like get to sing on stage with the,
oh,
person,
yeah,
you love.
Oh yeah, like so lucky, so lucky. And like, I mean, I don't even know how I would do this. Like, if I were just like single and like in a touring band, like, I'd probably be like a huge slut.
I
don't know. I don't know how it would be. It just seems like it would be super complicated.
Yeah. When it's a lifestyle where like,
it would just be so complicated. Like, I can't,
it's hard,
imagine,
to find someone new and settle down.
Couldn't imagine having a relationship, like a very stable relationship at home when,
as a,
like,
woman,
as a woman,
with
when
a
you're
lifestyle
touring
like that
with a bunch of guys.
Yeah. No,
it would
men,
be really hard. And so then I guess you would just be single. And if you're single in that lifestyle, like what else are you going to do other than like hook up with like the hottest dudes you meet and then like move on to the next one?
Yeah.
So like, I just, it would be really, it seems like it would be really challenging for sure.
Yeah.
Unless like they're also a touring artist, like, and they kind of understand. I think that people who don't tour, like, life on the road seems like it's crazy. Like, it seems like it's strip clubs and cocaine and
like,
shots, and it's like not. It's like gross green rooms, and it's like not that fun, and like you only get drunk because you're depressed, and like, you know, it's.
I mean,
just,
absolutely. People think like rock stars,
right?
I get it with comedy, and people are like,
of course,
you must have crazy stories,
and
you're
I just, like, yeah, I guess that one night we played L.A., you were there, like,
yeah,
that was pretty fun,
yeah,
and if every night was like that in the green room, it'd be insane, but like that's not the case. That was the only night on tour that was like that.
We'd be dead.
That's so you know, I think there's this idea that like tour is so crazy, and unless you're with somebody who's familiar with the touring life, like maybe if I was single I could date somebody else in another touring band or another touring comedian,
well, yeah,
or another,
no,
touring, somebody who gets the lifestyle.
I think that's why it works for me.
Yeah, I think so too, because if not, you'd be at home and you'd be like, he's definitely like at a club surrounded by groupies right now.
Well, and I
and think that's what it seems like rock and roll is, but it's like so much less cool than that. I don't know why.
I know. Well, I also think it's somewhat easier for a woman to handle, I mean, I to handle being at home and a man going on the road. Men are like,
yeah,
especially as a woman surrounded by dudes,
yeah,
even in comedy. And I, you know, I tour alone, but it's like I'll open for comedians who are men, and there's always a stigma. I can't drive up. I can't give somebody a ride to the Comedy Store without people being like, oh, what's going on with you guys? And it's
right,
like, what? I gave them a ride is what's
right,
going on. People are like, uh-huh. And men, I feel like, don't want to admit, but like they're fucking, men are just as, humans are as insecure as they are totally. Or they aren't. But like, I always feel like there's this lie that women tell themselves, like men are just sitting there like totally fine, as if they don't have insecurities.
Oh my God, men are so insecure.
And to know you're out there surrounded by literal rock stars.
Right.
And he's just like, well, you know, I'm an accountant and I think she loves me. Right. Right. That's fucking.
And you know what's
weird? It takes a very special person to
handle
that.
When we first started touring, I was dating somebody else, and yeah. that person had a parent who was a touring musician. So they grew up around it. So they were like the opposite, where they were like so unfazed. They like didn't call me. They didn't really care when like, I came home me. From tour. They just like didn't get up to like, and I was like, okay, you like don't care too much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to like think I'm out there cheating on you, but I want you to also like be like, hey, I miss you. How was the show tonight?
Yeah. I
like,
want you to be excited. Something. That you're with me.
Yeah. But it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. I've watched so many people around me in not just my band, but in bands that we've been out with and tour managers and crew members. And like so many people I've watched just like struggle to maintain, you know, positive relationships with the people that they love from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's so, so hard. And I don't like, you know, I feel really lucky that I'm in the situation I'm in. Because Josh is great, and yeah. and I get to like share this life with him, and we get to build this band together and this dream, this shared dream that we have, which is really cool.
It's amazing. It's so awesome. You guys are going to the UK for the first time.
Yes.
How fucking excited are you?
So excited. You know, the band's never met other than Josh. The band's never met my mom.
Oh my God.
They're all going to meet my mom.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited.
That's huge.
My mom's never seen the Mowglis play. She's going to see us play for the first time.
Oh my God. How long have you guys been a band?
Like almost 10 years.
I'm not going to cry.
So excited.
I might cry. I'm not going to cry. Okay.
I know. I actually am bringing Xanax so that I don't cry on stage.
Are you worried about doing Xanax on stage?
I'm
so sensitive to drugs.
No, I do like such a small amount. I don't even do half. I take like a tiny bite so that I don't cry, but so that I don't feel it.
Oh, I'm so...
And
I
don't drink.
That, I mean, that's huge.
I drink sometimes. I don't
but
like...
But with a Xanax.
That's not a blanket statement. Like, I don't drink. I do drink sometimes. But, I don't like...
Mix.
No.
I'm just so afraid that I would take the tiniest bit of something and for whatever reason that day, I'd be... like oversensitive and drooling.
Familiar enough with these like very low
doses
of Xanax that I got from a friend that
the psychiatrist
and honestly I don't usually like I've had this stash for like over a year.
Yeah,
but I'm just like really feel like I'm a very emotional performer. And I feel like if I don't, then like I'm really gonna like lose it on
and
stage.
And you can't when you're singing. You can't be like,
yeah. And I feel, and I don't want to do
it's
that.
It's a
in front
real
of my mom.
Good life.
Yeah.
You're like,
like
what?
The first time my mom sees us,
and she's like, "Is this what she does?"
Yeah. And then, but also, we're gonna like be performing for my dad for the first time, who I don't know that well. So that's kind of weird. I'm a little nervous around
scary.
That. And my brothers, who I just met.
Oh, that's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
You sometimes talk about that.
I do.
On stage,
do.
Are you gonna
I'm
nix
not
that?
Gonna talk about it on stage.
You're not gonna. Like no. use that as a segue. No. Okay.
No, I don't want them to know I wrote that song about them.
No, you're like, you don't get that much credit. Fuckers.
I just like don't know them well enough yet, and I feel like I
you don't want them to be
like yeah, I don't know. It's still like I feel like boundaries. Like at first it was like we were texting all the time, and then I met them, and then they were texting me like too much, and I was like, you need to stop. I like need to live my
That's
life.
So fascinating.
And then it was like really weird. I was like felt really like I was like constantly like texting.
Do they not
back.
Have wives?
They do. You know, they were like really
like are they trying to mom you?
I feel like they were more excited about me than I was about them in some
okay.
ways. And I don't know. It was weird because I'm like excited to have a relationship with them. I don't mean to like
oh yeah
sound so negative about it, but well, it's also like I'm not like I love my family. I'm not like super close with my family.
Same.
They live in England.
Well, yeah, and so if there are people who like constantly talk like that with their regular family, they're
yeah,
close to them.
Right.
It's
I'm not like
dynamic.
That. And so all of a sudden to have like two siblings just like blowing me up all the time, I was like, this is like too much for me.
Yeah.
I need to not reply to this for a while until I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh, I have a hard time wrapping my head around like just close families where it's like you're like going to lunch with your parents.
Why?
You didn't. You saw them like 2 days ago.
Are you in trouble?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's just. I know that's totally normal. Yeah. It's just a thing I don't.
No, I love my mom. And like, honestly, if my mom lived closer to me, we would probably hang out all the time. Like, she's awesome. She's the best. But like everybody else, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't, what are we going to talk about? I don't have that. Like, family is everything. Blood is thicker than water. I don't have that.
No, not at all. And I don't know why.
They stress me out, to be honest. I'm like stressed out a little bit. Like, I'm so excited to go to the UK. I'm so excited to see my mom. So excited to explore England with the band, because I've been going back to England my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm English. And so I'm so excited to go back there with them. I'm really excited to see Dave try to do business with people who have thick accents.
Oh.
I'm excited about a lot of things. But thinking about like some of the family stuff, I have a little anxiety.
Of course. Yeah. It's family. Is there any like restaurants or cool spots you're excited to show the band?
We have to go for a cream tea. We have to get a pasty. We have to have a Sunday roast. Sunday pasties are like these little pies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you know them?
I've been to a British themed restaurant
so
once.
And
the UK.
And my favorite, she's the best. She's worked at Ginster's, which is like the pasty factory for like 30 years.
Wow.
And her and my uncle. So they're like, and that factory is in the part of England my family's from. Like, we're pasty people.
Which part of England is that?
Cornwall.
Are you guys doing a show there?
I wish. It's so beautiful. It's like the most, know about it, it's like one of the most beautiful places in the world. So gorgeous. Best kept secret. Wish we were going. But it's like at the very bottom of England and not en route at all.
Yeah. That, I mean, what can you do?
What can you do?
Any specific cities in England you're extra looking
forward
to?
So excited for London.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go to Glasgow, because the next day we have a day off. And my mom's coming at that show, and we're going to go up to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is the best.
That's what I hear. So I'm really excited.
I just put in my application to do the festival again this year. So we'll see. But
it's awesome.
Do you like Harry Potter?
Of course.
She wrote everything in Edinburgh.
I know.
Walk around, you go like,
Waverly, and like, yeah, it's
you're
like
this, and mm-hmm. you just looking at stuff, you're like, this inspired.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I'm really excited. So I'm excited for that and London, and then after we're gonna take an extra week and do Paris and Amsterdam.
I'll be there unless I book this thing that I'm not gonna book. But.
So that'll be really fun.
You've been to Paris and Amsterdam?
Yes. I've done Paris twice, each time for 24 hours.
Oh,
this
so like
time
in and
we've
out.
Got like 3 days.
Yes.
So I'm very excited. And then Amsterdam, I've done twice. One of those times was my honeymoon. Josh and I did a few days. We did Bruges in Amsterdam.
Fun.
And on our last day there, we were like really getting into the groove of the city. And we were like, oh, I really wish we had more time here. Because like now we like get it. It's a little over. It was a little overwhelming.
There's
the first
a lot.
Few days. Because we came from Bruges too, which is like dead. So quiet.
Yeah.
So chill. Then you get off the train in Amsterdam and it's like thousands of
bikes
and
everywhere.
And weed and you're
just waffles.
So insane. Everything. Waffles. So but then on our like second or third day, we were like, oh, this is really chill. Like this part of town's really cool. So it's nice to know we're going back there.
And kind of have an idea of
kind of like
things you want
to
do.
Mm-hmm.
Any must eats in Paris or Amsterdam?
Well, I mean, just the bread and butter in Paris is like,
dude, I just want to have baguette.
It's
at all
insane.
Times.
I could just eat bread and butter and drink wine all day.
I'll do that with you.
Yeah. And then obviously in Amsterdam, we're like going to get stoned and eat junk food.
For sure.
Maybe we'll do mushrooms and go to a museum. I don't know.
100%. This is amazing. Yeah. I'm so excited for you. You guys, well, where can people find you on?
Oh, I'm at Katie Mowgli.
Yes.
I when somebody from the Bernie Sanders campaign retweets me, I get a lot of followers, and then at some point I start losing them again. So check it out. Maybe there's something worth following there.
See how you feel. If you're in the UK, their tour will start this week, because I'm putting this out.
Starts Tuesday.
Great. Tomorrow in Leeds. Go see her. Go see the Mowglis. Say hi to the drummer, my boyfriend, Andy. Make sure he's not doing anything wrong. Tell me everything. And go check out their new single, Wasting Time.
Thanks.
And thank you for sitting down with me.
Anytime.
Yay.
Thanks for sitting down with me. This was fun.
Yes, very much so. Bye, idiots.
Bye.
There you go. Katie Jane Earle. All about being a singer in a band of all boys except her and what that industry is like. And some political stuff, some feminist stuff, all across the board. Fucking rad girl, lady, woman, whatever I'm supposed to say. Badass bitch. Go see the Mowglies. I can't recommend it enough. In UK. Wow, my brain farted. And so did the rest of me. Oops. If you like the podcast, subscribe, rate, review me on iTunes. Share the podcast with your friends because everybody's a little bit ignorant sometimes. That's how we get the word out. Big thank you to John, Jean, Kathy, Terry, Greg, exclusive members of the League of Extraordinary Idiots on Patreon. Couldn't do this without you. You can join the league. You can get postcards from me. Just head on over to patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed for just $1 a month. You can hear bonus content. And please keep in mind that no guest is or claims to be a representative for every person who has a similar identity. They're just one person sharing their own experience and ideas to help us get a peek at how things look from their situated position in the world. Ignorance is Blessed on Instagram. And if you want to be more involved, but you're like, I can't afford $1 a month, or I just don't want to fucking give you $1, bitch, that's fine. There's a Facebook group. It's free to join. Ignorance is #blessedidiots. Find it. It's a safe space for theoretically unsafe questions. You can come with your viewpoint that you're like, hey, you know, a lot of people think that this is how things should be, but I'm kind of confused. It's a discussion space and also a place for you to recommend or suggest types of guests or specific people you'd like as guests. You could give me someone specific, or you could go like, hey, it'd be really cool if you interviewed a handicapped person who believes in Hinduism. I don't know why that would be the specific thing, but, you know, I'm not afraid to do whatever I can. So, yeah, head over there. Engage in the conversation. Start a conversation. Are you unsure about what to think politically, and you're like, I don't really pay attention, and now I feel like I should. Maybe start that conversation. It's a place where people who disagree can get to know each other and find a common ground and see where everyone's coming from and fucking just fuck around. It's great. Thank you for listening. You can find me, JMS Comedy, at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and keep asking questions. The more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening. And thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots!